lovely. Welcome to Dibley, everyone. Do you, Gordon Brown, take Sarah McCauley to be your lawful wedded wife?
I will enter into such a union if, and only if, I deem it prudent to do so.
Is that yes or no?
I'm not ruling it out, and I'm not ruling it in.
Sorry, time's up. Next, please.
Hello. Do you do christenings? Eager smile.
No pictures!
Ringers.
Can I be frank? Insincere grin. When I said we were looking for a new speaker to replace Betty Boothroyd, I didn't really have someone like you in mind.
But I'm Ross Kemp. Television's most versatile actor. I've played an angry bald brother, an angry bald thug, an angry bald lawyer. This is just the next logical step.
Well, why not? Smarmy grin hiding the fear of being smacked in the face.
Does the Prime Minister agree with me that while his name is Tony Blair, when it comes to policy, his cupboard is bare?
All right, hey, you shut it! Get your stupid little face out of my comments now, you slag! Get down them stairs!
New from BBC Enterprises, the tape the governors didn't want you to hear, the tape they tried to ban.
If I could just stop you there, Prime Minister.
Yes, John Humphreys, his best interruptions. All of his finest interruptions brought together for the first time on one 90-minute CD. From the timeless Robin Cook spat.
Hold on. Tos Brunner?
Robin Cook, I've got no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to interrupt you anyway just for the hell of it.
To the unforgettable Prescott interjection.
And in relation to the unintegrated rail network, I am, and such as it is, and I think you'll find the Prime Minister agrees with me on this one. No, I mean this in a positive way, whereby...
I'm going to have to end that sentence there, Mr. Prescott. Don't worry, it was a mercy killing.
A tape all today fans can cherish, because nobody butts in quite like John Hunt.
Well, actually, Charlotte, Paxman's outstanding at it.
Hello and welcome to Changing Rooms with me, Carol Smiley. If you're manically happy and you know it, there's a 98% chance you're me. This week we've travelled back in time to a very interesting house which was in dire need of a makeover. I've got the owners here. All right, you can open your eyes now.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is everything I have ever dreamed of. At last, a pleasant place in which to peruse my Dostoevsky. I really love the potato prints, especially. Very sophisticated.
What the bleeding hell have you done to my ass, you posh tart?
We got rid of that nasty skeleton and we replaced it with an aluminium hat stand, which is really, really nice. And we got rid of that awful tin bath and replaced it with a medieval-style jacuzzi, which I think works really, really well.
You stupid bird. If I wanted to make bubbles in my bath, I'm more than capable of making them on my own.
Peter, please. How very rude. Now, please, Miss Barker, do continue with your colourful depiction of our elegant new abode.
Right, and finally, we got rid of that rather large equestrian feature up in the stables and turned the whole space into a faux Buddhist temple, which I think works really, really, really well.
Oh, my horse, Harold, she's taken me horse.
Please do excuse my father. He lacks the sophistication to appreciate the higher things in life.
You bleeding crawler. I What are you, sharp, you filthy little rat?
So, Harold Albert, what do you think?
The makeover is a joy to behold, and from the bottom of my heart, thanks for giving us one.
Here, Harold, you want to give her one and all, don't you? I'm a cold, you dirty old man.
Abbey Road.
Hello, is that the famous Abbey Road Studios?
It is,
yes. I'm honoured. It's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Hello.
Just an idea in mind. You might remember at the last general election, the new Labour Party had D. Ream's Things Can Only Get Better as their campaign anthem. Well, similar to that, for the next election, we at the Conservative Party were looking for our own campaign anthem. And, we were wondering if we might be able to record that at the most famous studios in the world.
I'm sure you can.
That's good, that's good, that's good. I'm going to sing it myself.
Go on then, I'd love to hear it.
Shall I do it now?
Yes, it's a good idea.
The Conservative Party's campaign song?
Yep.
Bright eyes, burning like fire. Bright eyes. How can you close and fade? Da, da, da. How can the light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so pale? Bright eyes. What do you think of my voice? Do you think I have a future?
No. You do too much.
I sort of what? Too much?
You do too much. You just don't have it. I'm sorry.
Maybe if I was to sing a different song. Hang on. It's the eye of the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight, standing up to the challenge of your rivals. And the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night. And it's the eye of the tiger.
No, I think you should stick to Bright Eyes.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up next, Woman's Hour, which today won't be presented by Jenny Murray. No, she's got a gig nude mud wrestling at the King's Head in Taunton. And I've got a fiver on her, so she'd better not let me down. I've chosen her replacement. I think Jenny's been leading you women astray, and it's about time you got to hear how things really are.
Hello and welcome to Woman's Hour with me, Jeremy Clarkson. On today's Turbocharged Show, I'm going to talk about cars. Now, don't start getting all mental on me and writing to Radio 4 saying, "Dear Radio 4, that terrible Clarkson man talked about cars on our women's programme and now we feel violated." I know you don't like cars, ladies, so I'll talk about the colours of cars, as that's how you choose them. Oh, darling, this one's nice, drives like a tank with square wheels, but it's in pink, so I'll take four. I'm off now to squeeze myself into some ridiculous ball-strangling jeans. Woof!
And on front row now, we turn to the RSC's Macbeth, starring that great Shakespearean thespian, Patrick Stewart. We dropped in on rehearsals.
Life is but a walking shadow. A poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. Theme of Cawdor's log. Supplemental. We are hearing disturbing reports that the forest of Burnham Wood is moving across the neutral zone to planet Dunsinane. And still we maintain orbit around Glam's.
Patrick! It's not in the script, is it?
Oh, but Shakespeare is boring. It doesn't have enough spaceships.
Can you just move on to the bit with Sir Alec?
All right. Satan, come hither. What news of the battle?
Macbeth. Gracious Lord, I should report that which I say I saw. Malcolm is fast at work, constructing his Death Star.
Scene with you and Brian Blessed.
Ah, Macbeth! Macbeth, the day may still be ours. All I need is my army of birdmen and the help of Flash Gordon.
Doc!
All right, we'll do it properly. What's he that was not born of woman? Such a one am I to fear, or none.
Not born of woman? You mean Macduff?
Far worse, my friend. I mean, the Borg.
Look, can we get Peter O'Toole on the phone?
The time's just coming up to 20. 9 minutes to nine. Time to join Libby Purvis, who's going to tell us about midweek. Libby.
Good morning. Yes, I'm positively shivering with anticipation at the prospect of my first guest. He's a man I certainly won't be giving a frosty reception to.
Right, so it's a famous Arctic explorer?
No, he's a moderately well-known milkman. And he's written a book all about it.
Right, so he's your big star. Who else?
Well, the theme of milk continues because my next guest has also proved to be great shakes in her chosen profession.
Oh, lordy.
She's Britain's third ever female quarantine officer. And she's written a book all about it.
Fascinating.
And with all that foaming at the mouth, she's got a lot in common with my third guest, because he's the great-great-grandson of the man who invented toothpaste, and he's written a book all about it.
Dare I ask who your last guest is?
Well, John, my last guest has something in common with all three others. He's the only person in Britain who's read their books, and he's written a book all about it.
Thank you, Libby.
And so there is order in the universe. Everything is linked. Everything has meaning. There is closure. Good morning.
Hello, I'm Johnny Vaughan. Because I'm worth it. After the success of Chicken Run, Hollywood are already looking for the next animated classic that they can adapt for the American market. Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro in Trumpton, the movie.
Okay, Hugh, Pugh, Bonnie McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble, and the other freaking guy. Listen, I just had a call from Windy freaking Miller. His freaking windmill's going up in goddamn flames. So we're gonna put it out. Excuse me, Captain Flack. Hey, Dibble, are you talking to me? Well, I don't see any other fondly remembered 70s animated characters around. Huh? Hey, listen, let me ask you something. True got a problem? Huh? I tell you, want to know why we can't go near any goddamn fires? Huh? Because we're made out of goddamn plasticine. We go anywhere near a fire and we're going to be a puddle of Play-Doh quicker than you can say Brian freaking can't. Tell me something. What you's going to do about it, huh? What you's going to do? I'll tell you what, me, Hugh, Pugh, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert and Grubb are going to do. Absolutely goddamn nothing. But here's what you're gonna do, huh? 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 You're gonna take your freaking fire engine and stick it up your goddamn animated ass. Until they can hear your freaking screams in goddamn Camberwick Green, huh? Oh yeah? Oh yeah, is that so? Well, say your freaking prayers, wise guy.
BBC Radio 4. And now, letter from America.
Good evening. I think it was... Calvin Coolidge who said to me in 1929... Alistair... He said... Alistair, you're... Pauses are very annoying indeed. I paused for a moment before replying. But he had died. An incident, I'm sure you'll agree, that gives us all pause.
pause for thought. Good night.
The ultimate makeover show, Charlie's Changing Ready Steady Garden, Can't Animal, Won't Animal Army, with me, Charlie. And these, my dimmocks.
And also with me, Alan Titchmarsh.
And me, Carol Smiley.
And me, Rolf Harris.
And me, Linda Barker.
Wait a minute, how many presenters does this programme need?
Sounds like a question for me, Carol Vorderman.
Crikey! So what have you done today, Charlie?
Well, Alan... me and my two friends here... ...changed Alan Titchmarsh's living room into an Irish peat bog.
Meanwhile, me and Linda Barker changed this poor, sick little parrot into a multicoloured feather skirt ideal for a summer barbecue.
Which I think works really, really well!
What about you, Carol Vorderman?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I do. We're all on telly so much that everyone thinks we're a load of consonant, vowel, consonant, consonants.
BBC Radio 4. I am woman, hear me roar. Now, it's time for a book at bedtime. John Prescott reads A Tale of Two Cities.
Why, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And your listeners know very well, Sue, and are aware of the fact that insofar that it was the age of wisdom, it so happened to be, and I make no apology, coincidental with the age of foolishness. And Charles Dickens agrees with me on this one. But with respect to, concurrent with the epoch of belief was, if you'll let me finish, you've had your say, the epoch of incredulity.
And John Prescott will be back at the same time tomorrow night, reading the next sentence. And now, a Dale warning, issued at 0700 hours. There are warnings of an extreme Dale Winton approaching in the following schedules. Channel Vessel Light Entertainment, The Lottery Show. Ratings moderate to poor, heading south. Viewers decreasing slowly. Sea Area's Supermarket Sweep. Drivel expected soon. Dogger, good. Pets win prizes. Jack Russell heading westerly through hoop later. The other half, comedy value, rock all. Viewers expect severe depression later. Limp wrist veering steadily towards right hip. Outbreaks of mincing imminent. Laughter decreasing slowly. Oblivion expected soon.
Good afternoon, Oxford Tower Restaurant. How can I help?
Hello, the Oxford Tower Restaurant?
It is.
Wonderful. How posh are you? It's fantastic. It's Dale Winton here. I wondered, my darling, if I could book a table for myself and five of my showbiz chums.
How's it going, Steph? Can I just check?
Would they be able to just check a few dietary needs with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, hang on. Let me just fetch Prince Nassim. Hey, baby, is that the restaurant?
Hello. All right, then.
Will it be all right if I wear my leopard skin skirt like I enter the boxing ring with?
You can wear what you like.
Would that be okay? I just want something basic. Could you do me chips and sausages and beans?
We have a set menu, so you have to pick off the actual menu.
Well, somebody cut me sausages up for me.
You'd have to ask the chef on the night.
Okay? All right, listen, hey, thanks for your help. Let me just get Ian Islop. Hey.
Hello. Having to deal with all the customers one by one. Most professional. I'm very well. For my tea, I'd just like a large potato, please. Nothing else. Just a large potato. And if you can draw my face on it, it'd be wonderful. Can Chris Tarrant have a word?
What telephone number should I put this book in under?
Yes, okay, tonight on Who Wants to Eat a Juicy Pear, on your set menu, I was wondering, do you have fried camembert in breadcrumbs?
No, we don't.
Sure?
I am.
Absolutely sure.
I am absolutely sure.
final answer.
Because
this does mean, if you are wrong, I can go to your restaurant and have my fried camembert in breadcrumbs. If you are correct, I may have to bring my own packed lunch. It's your choice.
Well, the menu is changing at the moment, so we can't actually, I can't guarantee anything to you at the moment.
I can tell you. You just helped me out with my order. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Just one more. John Inman's on his way.
Do you remember me and Are You Being Served? I played Mr. Humphreys.
I do.
I was outstanding, wasn't I, Serena, darling? Now, listen, I know your restaurant is very posh and exclusive. Now, would anybody mind if I skin up? That's a shame. I've got some Dutch super skunk called AK-47. It's very fragrant. Well, maybe you could come across to my table. You could have a bang on it yourself, my darling.
BBC Radio 4 does exactly what it says on the tin. Paunchy singer Robbie Williams is going out with ex-Spice Girl Jerry Halliwell. Oh, really? Well, not anymore. You're not Robbie. She's mine. I've had all the others, and she's the only one left. I think you'll find that she has a tattoo that quite clearly says, I heart Brian Perkins. I suggest you move on, Williams, unless you want a taste of cold Perkins steel. And then you won't be loving Jerry, Robbie. Oh, no. You'll be loving angels instead. But first, Robin Cook's letter from America, complete with translation.
Good morning.
I'm reminding this way of an insult in 1938 with President Johnson regarding foreign policy.
Having a lovely time.
I'm listening to Al Gore. What is the government's policy on welfare reform? I said Newt Gingrich was all. August of from.
Phew, it's hot over here.
Richard Nixon or John McCarthy. No, the whole electoral college. Raving the Western world.
These Yankee birds go like the clappers and they look the business as well.
Farewell.
Love, Robin.
Camden, good afternoon. Justin speaking. Can I help you?
Hello, is that the petrol station?
Yes, it is.
Hello, it's Patrick Moore.
Hello.
Tell me, how much petrol would I get, unleaded, for £1?
Unleaded?
Yes.
For £1?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's very, very small. Just about a litre.
Well, that's not really very much, is it?
Sorry?
That's not very much, is it?
It isn't very much. No, it isn't.
And you realise, if I was to put that amount into an average-sized space vehicle, I would be very unlikely to travel more than 3 millimetres. Put the petrol in the space shuttle, vroom, that's it.
Yeah, unfortunately, sir, I wouldn't be able to help in that score.
That's not going to get me to Uranus, is it?
Is there any way I can help you?
Is your car wash big enough for a space shuttle?
No.
Do you sell Milky Ways?
Yes.
Galaxies?
Yes.
Mars?
We do.
Thank you very much indeed. Good night.
Bye now.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard after the Scout Jamboree when a man came on the television set announcing there was to be a summer of programming devoted to the 1970s on BBC Two. Thora paused momentarily to peel the doily from under a chocolate eclair. You know what they'll talk about, Alan, she said. It'll be all that Cat Stevens, Ralph McTell, and even the Bay City Rollers. They'll completely overlook my contribution to the music of that decade. I nodded, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 1977, where, in the Wakefield Village Hall, I saw Thora, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettiford from Number 42 take to the stage as Stella Stairlift and the Dead Whippets. thus launching the punk rock explosion in West Yorkshire. Thora, of course, gained notoriety just weeks later on live television when she gobbed on Bill Grundy and said, "F the Queen." But Thora's band was short-lived. Mr. Pettiford OD'd on macaroons in a New York hotel room, while Peter Salis became a new romantic and for a short while was bass player for Adam and the Ants. Thora herself could never quite leave the past behind, occasionally duetting with Johnny Rotten on Songs of Praise. Most noticeably on the self-penned I Gob on the Queen Mother's Hat, which later became a Christmas hit for the St. Winifred's Girls School Choir. So as I wipe more of Thora's sputum from my forehead, and as she bangs her head against the wall in time to her seminal album, Never Mind the Black Puddings, I say to those BBC bosses, you'd better put punk Thora into your 70s season, or Greg Dyke's sure to have a bottle lobbed his way at some speed. But of course, they won't, will they?
Hello?
Hello, is that Chipping Sodbury Caravans?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Greetings, I am the Doctor.
Yes?
My good man, I need a caravan.
We don't hire out caravans.
I cannot borrow a caravan from you,
We don't hire them out, no. We're just retailers.
Ah, excuse me for a moment, let me see. Now, if I purchase a caravan, what I could do is go back in time 10 minutes before I purchased it, put it back, and he wouldn't be any the wiser. Fine. Yes, no problem, sir. That's fine.
The best thing to do is to come in and we'll sort something out for you, sir.
I need a caravan because of the Master. You see, the Master plans to invade Morecambe.
Yes, I see, yes.
So it's vital I intercept him. Tell me, what are your caravans equipped with inside?
Well, with everything, I mean...
Excellent. Do you have any caravans with a dematerialization circuit and interstitial time ram navigation drive?
No, sir.
I see, so just curtains and sink units and things.
That's right, yeah.
I can't defend the universe with that.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers, starring John Coleshaw,
Jan Ravens,
Kevin Connolly,
Phil Cornwell,
and Mark Perry.
The associate producer was Adam Bromley, and it was produced by Bill Dare. The writers were John Holmes and Annie Hurst, Nev Fontaine and Tom Jameson, Simon Blackwell, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie, Gerard Foster, John Coleshaw, Sean Pye, Ashley Baroda, Henry Naylor, and Steve Perry.